Welcome into the Investing in Real Estate Show. I'm Clayton Morris. So glad to have you here. This is the show where we try to help you become a more intelligent real estate investor. And on this episode, we answer your questions, where we get to listen in to some real estate related questions. It could be financial, it doesn't matter, just in that space. And we try to answer those things for you. You can ask me a question if you like, just by going to our website. It's morrisinvest.com/Clayton. So go to morrisinvest.com/Clayton is how you can leave us a 30-second voicemail question. Okay, so let's dive into it today. We've got a couple of great questions. I have not listened to these ahead of time, so I can be fresh and on the go and have to think on my feet for your questions. All right, let's listen to our first question here from James. Take it away.
Hi, Clayton. My name is James O'Neill, and I'm a new investor who just purchased my first primary residence this year. I closed on my first investment property just a month shortly after, and I am currently about to close on my second investment property in 20 days. I'm just curious, at what point should I seek tax advice or hire a CPA? Who can advise me on my W-2 wages and taxes as a soldier, a new homeowner, 50% LLC owner, and a joint partnership with property in two names? I know many other soldiers who listen to your show have this question, and I would appreciate you responding. Thank you.
Thank you, James, and thanks for your service to our country, and thanks to all of our service members who listen to the show as well. Thank you for your service. So taxes, a very important question. I would do it today, right now. Don't wait, because doing taxes is one thing, but tax planning is the most important piece of this, and that's something you should be doing throughout the entire year. And it doesn't matter how many rental properties you have a couple of unique situations that you're operating with that you need tax advice to do it correctly. So we have a tab on our website. It's called Lower Taxes. That's the tab. Just go to morrisinvest.com/lower taxes. And I would book a call with our friends at Wealthability right there. If you do, we've actually partnered with them where they've actually set up an entire team just to help listeners of our podcast, our clients at Morris Invest. You can get on the phone with them for a free phone call, consult with them, and they have multiple different tiers of pricing to work with them as a CPA based on your needs. So, you know, if you've got 1,000 rental properties, you're going to be in a different tier, right? If you've got 2 rental properties, you know, so it's a great way for them to work with you and have a discussion about your needs. And then they can pair you up with the right member of the Wealthability CPA team. And they are fantastic. They are my personal tax team. And I'm telling you, they have saved us hundreds of thousands of dollars. Well, one of our team members from Wealthability, his name is Dave. He's just fantastic. We have phone calls with him regularly. And you should be having these regular phone calls with your CPA team for tax planning throughout the year. Because things change and your situation changes. And there's going to be things that come up that he's going to have to help you with throughout, he or she's going to have to help you with throughout the year in planning purposes. Again, Tom Wheelwright always says that the filing of the taxes in April is the easy part. That you should already have that done throughout the year. It's the planning that needs to happen all year long. So James, I hope you find that helpful. That's my best advice. I walk the walk with that team at Wealthability. You have to use our link though, because they set it up specifically to work with us and our listeners of our show. So again, go to morrisinvest.com/lower taxes and get on the phone with them, talk with them, and they're going to help you. They're going to guide you in the right direction really help you next stages with your taxes for becoming a real estate investor. And by the way, congrats, congrats on getting your second property in such a short amount of time. Awesome stuff, James. Okay, John is up next with a question. Let's listen to John.
Clayton, why do you have more single family homes as opposed to duplexes? I would assume you get a lot better return on your investment on a duplex. And if mostly your rentals are single family, what is your price that you're shooting for in regards to your single family homes? As far as each unit, how much do you like to spend on each unit? And what is your average unit rental for each one? Thank you.
Thank you, John. Well, I've been partial to single families because those were the first two properties I ever bought were single families. And they're still in my portfolio today. So I was always partial to them. I was partial to the 3-bedroom, 2-bath brick, you know, house that's been there for a long time and it's not going anywhere. You know, that was my first entry into real estate investing. But then as I grew, I started acquiring more duplexes. And that's something that I'm putting a lot of time and attention and effort into now is acquisition of more duplexes. So at Morris Invest, at our company, that's one of the things we do is both single families and duplexes. And price point really can be kind of irrelevant as long as the ROI is there. And with all of this free money right now, I mean, interest rates are near zero. You're basically getting a duplex. Like if you work with us at Morris Invest and you buy a duplex, you're basically getting the down payment back in the form of as a tax deduction, because we hand you a cost segregation analysis, meaning you can take that cost seg right to your CPA and you're going to get that down payment back on your taxes. And then the bank is footing the bill for the rest. So in many ways, you're getting almost an infinite return because it's not your money. Now on a single family, John, the question about cost is important. And there's a rule of thumb that you really shouldn't go over $150,000 for a single family home. Chance or $175,000. The chances are the rent is not going to keep up with that cost. So that's kind of a rule of thumb. But again, your mileage may vary depending on financing and what the rent is on a property. But on our duplexes that we sell, you know, you're looking at rent over $3,200 a month, roughly, in cash flow from duplexes. So, and especially if they're new construction, the problem you're going to have though is finding duplexes that are old that need repair. They're few and far between. So we've been building them brand new construction. Same with the single family homes. So again, your mileage may vary, but I'm a fan of both, and I've been acquiring more and more duplexes to kind of even out my portfolio of single families and duplexes. But I am a residential guy. I'm not a fan of commercial property. So I don't have things that are, you know, over five units and more, a lot of them. So that's my bread and butter. It's just what I've always done. I felt comfortable with it. And, you know, when you're comfortable with something like I was buying single families, and then I finally started adding some duplexes to the mix, then I started growing that way. So it's not like I'm against anything like that. I'm a single family and duplex kind of guy. That's what makes me happy. And that's what our company does. So I just continue to do what works. Why reinvent the wheel if it's not broken, right? Okay. Thank you for that question, John. All right. Our next question comes from Stanley.
Hi, Clayton. This is Stanley. I just enjoy your show with the information that you share with everyone, giving all the tips on the financial level and also real estate. I had a question on real estate side. How do you identify a niche in the market that's perfect in terms of pricing and is more of a lateral market, so it's not high to purchase and you can get good cash flow and it can be more stable? What are the key ingredients? If you can have a segment on that, sure, that would be great.
Okay.
Because as you know, with the high price market, we are all looking for the right location that's suitable for renting and it's not extremely high priced, so we can get good cash flow. Thank you and keep up the good work. Also, same goes for your wife.
Thank you, Stanley. Thanks for the call. So he wants to know how to identify markets. And that's one of the things that we pride ourselves at doing at our company. Our field team is fantastic at this. So we'll spend years analyzing a market before we move into it. So let me give you a couple of key ingredients. So the areas where we are building our properties right now, and we're placing tenants and cash flowing our rental properties, are in markets that meet all of these pieces of criteria. Okay. Low crime, high job growth. Okay. We're talking Fortune 500 companies that are coming in, and they're not one trick pony jobs either. They're not just one oil refinery. There's multiple corporations, healthcare companies, universities, et cetera. We're also in areas that we can get affordable land. We're building new construction. So the numbers have to make sense, right? Our cost for goods, our cost for lumber, all of those things go into it. You also want to be looking at vacancy rate. I mean, right now we have a housing crisis in the United States. So if you're in a market where there's a high vacancy rate, something is bad. Like there's high crime, there's jobs leaving, who knows, right? There's bad stuff happening. Okay. And so if you're in a high vacancy rate town, get out. So where we invest are areas where the vacancy rates are low because, well, if there's a tenant leaves, you can fill that property quickly, very quickly. We also want to be in areas where we can demand higher rents, where there's a better salary, there's better jobs. And, you know, we want to be in areas where there's a diversity of employment. And I also like boring markets. I'm going to be honest with you, not flashy bubble markets. So I'm not in San Francisco. I'm not in New York or Chicago or Miami. I'm in areas that are, you know, an hour to 2 hours outside of major cities where there's growth happening. These are key things to be looking at. You also want to be in pandemic-proof areas. This is something we never thought we'd have to say, but is it pandemic-proof? What does that mean? Well, I can tell you where we're building our houses in a couple of our markets, like I'll just give you like in West Texas and Lubbock, Texas, where we build right now, and some in Tennessee and other parts of Texas. Like, that's not a tourist spot. And so pandemic-proof means like Vegas, okay? When a pandemic hits, guess what? The whole city shuts down and casinos go out of business. They lay off hundreds of people, thousands of people. Orlando, right? Pandemic is not pandemic resistant. You have all these people that worked at Disney and theme parks and lost their jobs. And that's bad. That's bad news for rentals. That's bad news for rental properties. That's bad news for jobs. That's bad news for crime. You name it, it's bad. So I don't want to be investing in areas like that. I never thought I'd have to say that, but those are things you need to now consider. You also want to make sure that there's great property management available in these markets. And at the end of the day, it all comes down to return on investment. So with our properties, we want to make sure that we are hitting a really solid return on investment, you know, in the neighborhood of, you know, anywhere at the lowest, probably around 8% net return, like at the low end, and then all the way up into the 20s, you know, because if you have great tax incentives, you're able to do cost segregation analysis and be able to get additional returns on your taxes. So those are all things to look at. But yeah, those are the main points, you know, crime, vacancy rate, property management, jobs, job growth, and migration patterns, population. I do not want to be in an area where population is declining and people are leaving. That's a true sign of problems. So those are my main metrics that we're looking for. I hope you found all of this helpful. Thank you, Stanley, James, and John, for your great questions. You can leave me a question. I'd love to hear from you. Just go to morrisinvest.com is our website, morrisinvest.com/Clayton. That's how you can leave us a 30-second voicemail question about finance, about real estate, on your real estate invest journey. All right, folks, now go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. We'll see you next time.